Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's just stay away from the guy. It's sports radio, 1080 The Fan, not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What is a Sprague? We can just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a work colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Francie.
The Fan.
Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Beautiful outside again today, so we got that going for us. Got a lot to get to. Millsack coming up here in about 12, 13 minutes from now. 503-250-1080. That is the new text line. You can get your questions in. We'll get to them coming up here in a few moments. We have an update on the NBA. What's going on with them and the return. Also, what it means for next season. I find that kind of an interesting offshoot storyline. So we'll get to that as well. But joining us here to start the final hour is the general manager at Bandon Dunes Golf Resort, Don Crow. We got a chance to meet him, and it was an amazing weekend. So, Don, thanks for joining us. First off, can't thank you enough for an incredible experience this weekend, getting the chance to play Sheep Ranch. We absolutely loved it. I'll just start. How did the opening day go yesterday? What was it like down there for you guys, day one at Sheep Ranch?
Dirt, it was incredible. We had an incredible weekend. Yesterday was a big, big day. Over 250 guests played. Perfect weather. Bill Kaur, Phil Friedman at the first tee greeting guests. Breeze came up in the afternoon. It was a true, true Lynx experience. It was great.
Well, Don, my co-host says how great it was, and there's no doubt it lived up to the hype and then some. So thank you from my end, too. I do want to ask you, though, before we dive into some of the details about Sheep Ranch and Bandon in general, have you ever, we talked about this on the show yesterday, have you ever offered somebody a free round on any other course at Bandon and then have them tell you no? Because you collectively offered that to us and none of us stepped up to do that.
You have to call me. Yeah, we'll get you. I want you to come see this. Everyone needs to come and play the Sheep Ranch.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody topped an 85 yet? Because that was my score. Do I hold the course record or has that been beaten already?
You might. No, there was some great play yesterday, so
it
might be a little bit lower.
Well, so it kind of walked the listeners behind. I mean, you're down there, you got all these beautiful courses, and for those who don't know, I mean, because it was my first time at Bandon. I'm an avid golfer, but it was my first time getting down there. But for those that don't know, just kind of what the entire property entails and then what makes Sheep Ranch, this new one that opened up yesterday, such a special place to play.
Well, for those that don't know, we opened in 1999 with Bandon Dunes, 01 Open Pacific, Trails in 5, and Old Mac in 10. And now we're really happy with, certainly really happy with opening up in 2020 with Sheep Ranch. So we went from 2 miles of coastline now to 3. So the Sheep Ranch sits on 1 mile of ocean front, which is incredible. We have 9 greens that literally are on a cliff. So you're just looking at the water. Views from all 18 holes to the water, and we have grass bunkers. So all the other golf courses have your traditional sand bunker. Well, this is grass, so that makes it unique. And just overall course contours is also unique too. So it's really a special experience.
Well, and we had talked briefly, and I'd love if you could like inform our listeners on this about the Junior Bandonista program that you had informed us on just what that is and how people can take advantage of it.
This is something we started a few years ago with big success. It's really there from Memorial Day, rather Mother's Day through July. It's a great way to support junior golf, grows the game, it's a great way to expose juniors to Lynx golf. So family. So what it is it could be a father, son, mother, daughter, grandparent, coach. But what you can do is come down, and it's a young golfer, say 22 years and younger, plays for free with a full paying, rack rate adult. That's so incredible. They can play any of the golf courses after 10 a.m. It's a really nice program.
Yeah,
strong response from the state.
Yeah, I bet. Don Crow is our guest, general manager, Bandon Dunes Golf Resort. They opened up their new course, Sheep Ranch, yesterday. We got the unbelievable opportunity to play it on Sunday, and it was an incredible, incredible experience. So we highly suggest going down there and playing it. And I know, a lot of folks, there's so much going on in the world right now, but what is still going on is the global pandemic. And I know you guys had to figure out how to navigate through that initially when it happened. And we got a chance to see all kind of the health and safety protocols. But for those that are wondering on that note as well, when people are coming down, just what has that been like to navigate through making sure everybody's healthy and safe and getting a chance to play golf now, especially that the weather's continuing to turn?
Well, that's number one goal, healthy, safe. We closed down at the end of March, and then we reopened on May 11th. So we had a few weeks to figure it out. And we put a program in place. So when someone arrives at the gatehouse, they check in there, and we'll do a visible screening. We'll hand out a mask. We'll highly encourage our guests to wear masks and also, stress the importance of physical distancing. And set the stage there. So mm-hmm. once they get up to the reception desk or at the golf shop, plexiglass in place. Shuttles have plexiglass. And there's sanitation protocols that have been increased in every square inch of the property. So we've taken it very serious. We're getting great feedback from guests saying, "Way to go! I feel safe." And I just highly encourage everyone to come visit.
Well, and the cool thing for us, Don, was we had a great dinner at the lodge, and then the next day we got to play Sheep Ranch. And it's funny because Matt Ryan's sitting behind us, and you guys are no strangers to celebrities and pro athletes coming over there to play golf at these beautiful courses. I kind of was wondering, and I should have asked you this, but I'm wondering, what is a day in the life for you like, where you're like, you have the Matt Ryans of the world from time to time, you want to accommodate them really well, and then you've got all these people that drive or fly in from these different locations. What's a day in the life like for a general manager like Don Crow?
It's the best job in the world. I get to bounce around on these golf courses. Of course, we have food and beverage, we have lodging, there's housekeeping, there's reservations, the back office function of accounting. It's just in marketing and communications, but it really is a great time. Hospitality is what it's all about, and just making sure that whoever's here has an amazing visit. Yeah.
When do you think Bandon took off and became a legendary worldwide renowned resort for golfing? Because there's a lot of courses that can say, "Oh yeah, we're on the coast. You guys do it really well." When do you think that really took off for you?
I'd like to believe right away, because when we opened in 99, we'd set out to say we're going to do 10,000 rounds, and we did over 20,000 just that first season. So it just kept climbing. Mr. Mike Kaiser had a vision, and we continued to deliver that. And it's just, we're thankful for all the support that we get from all our the state, the West Coast, and the nation. Our golfers love it. It's really something special.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, we got the chance to play Sheep Ranch on Sunday. It officially opened up to the public on Monday. We can't recommend going down there playing it enough. It is the nicest course by a mile that I've ever played. Do you have, now this might be asking, like, who's your favorite kid? Do you have a favorite hole out there?
That's a tough question. I'm going to go with all 18. However, I really like 16, 17.
Yeah,
it is such a strong finish coming into 18.
Yes, it is.
And you're at the clubhouse, and you're perched up, and you look back, and there's the Pacific Ocean, and it's just – it's breathtaking.
Well, let's take it a step further then, Don. Which kid is your favorite course-wise? Which course do maybe you shoot the best on?
Oh, gosh. That's tough, too. I like I'm known to spray a ball perhaps to the right. So some of them that are open and I can find my ball and have a great chance to get into the green. So really all of them, they're all very friendly. It just depends on where you tee off.
Yeah.
That 16-17 stretch, man, it was no joke. I that was when the wind was kicking our ass the
right
entire
face.
Back nine. Yeah. And that's when you realize it, because we get up there and our caddy's telling us, "Oh, it's 120 yards. You're thinking, okay. And he's saying, "Well, you're going to need to club up a little bit." And I think I played 150, 160 yards club, and it was still short. It's unbelievable. You just got to learn all those things the more you play. But we can't thank you enough, Don Crow, general manager of Bandon Dunes Golf Resorts, for inviting us down, letting us play this weekend. We had a great time.
We'll have to get you out there on a round with us, Don. We'll all spray it right. We'll do it together.
All right, let's do it. I look forward to it. Thanks for calling.
There you go. Don Crow, the general manager of Bandon Dunes Golf Resort. Yeah, we got a chance to play Sheep Ranch on Sunday.
It is...
you kind of run out of words to say. You get, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but you tee off on the first hole. The first hole honestly might have been my favorite, as weird as that does sound, because there's some holes on the back nine and even on the front that you're just like right along the ocean. But the first one, just because of the layout of it, of hitting, you can't see the ocean from the, well, you can.
It's
but
a hill. You can't
it's
see
kinda lifted
where you're
up,
going.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can see obviously the ocean way hole. Off in the distance, but you kind of, there's this lifted up fairway and you hit it and your ball disappears. And then you start walking up that first fairway, and then it's downhill to the green from there, and it's just like, oh, my God, we are in golf heaven.
So yeah, I mean, it's no different than Field of Dreams. Is this heaven?
Is this heaven? No, it's Bandon Dunes. So go play. We can't recommend it enough.
Well, and that deal's great, too. If you have a daughter
deal,
or a
man.
Son, and they enjoy golfing, you cannot beat that deal. To go over there and have one of them be able to play a free round with you, it makes the adventure that much better. And I was wondering what I was going to see youth-wise when we got there. And at first, I didn't see much of anything. And then when we checked into our rooms and then when I started kind of walking around the premises, saw a ton of kids.
Yeah.
You see anywhere from, I don't know, they look like they're 9-10 years old all the way up to, you know, 19-20 years old, just all there with their dads and there with the family. Make it a good getaway.
Well, one last note on it too, because he mentioned their top priority was safety. I know he said they were closed down for a couple of weeks right when everything kind of hit and they had to figure out how to navigate. There was never a point where you ever felt in danger. All the employees were wearing masks,
gloves
all over the place. So you didn't touch anything to buying stuff. I mean, it was every pen was clean, all that kind of stuff. So there was never a question about any of that. But great experience. And if you're a fan of golf here in the local area, get down there and play. It's kind of a unique opportunity because it's such a worldwide known course that people come in from all over the place. But with the lack of travel right now and people kind of being skittish about flying, that maybe there's that unique opportunity this summer. Get down there, play a couple of rounds, because they book out golf rounds like a year in advance if you're trying to plan stuff out. So just put that on your calendar. Get down there and play. It was incredible. Thanks again to Don Crow, the GM down there at Bandon Dunes. Couldn't have been nicer, and we had a great time this weekend. All right, let's get to the mail sack, 503-250-1080. That is the text line. Get your questions in. We will answer them coming up next on 1080 The Fam. All right, let's get to the mail sack. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line.
Merle.
New and improved. Just save it into your phone. Boom goes the dynamite. Text us anytime you want.
Put it in as dirt and douche.
Yeah. Oh, dirt and douche show.
Dirt and spritz.
Dirt and spritz.
Smudge and sprague.
Some of these. Okay, we got a few to get to.
Okay.
Let's rattle through them, okay?
Yes.
So
I was thinking during the break. I wish I could play Sheep Ranch tomorrow.
I know, man. I know. I told him when we were down there, we were talking to Don on Sunday. I said, can we just like build a studio down here? Just like come down for like a week at a time? Because that'd be great. I would love it. Now, I don't even want to try and answer this. Somebody said, my mail sack, I hit my irons and wedges well, but I've always struggled with my woods and driver.
Oh, my God. Amen on the woods.
If I don't top it, I slice the hell out of it.
Yep.
Please help. I'm the wrong person to turn to for golf advice. My advice would be, one, look at the ball, because if you're topping it, you're not looking at the ball.
Yeah, you're pulling your head quick.
Also, slicing and topping it can also be a problem of over swinging, which I think a lot of people do when they have the driver in their hands, is that they just, you grip it and rip it, baby. You want to hit some dangers.
So
slow it to slow tempo.
On 18, you saw this. It was my drive was good. My second shot, it's a par 5. I'm probably 2 undo out. I could have got there if I hit it clean.
Yeah, you could have gotten there for sure.
But the shot I hit, I topped it so bad. The ball bounced right in front of my face and went above my head and then came directly down. It went maybe a foot.
You turned around and I was watching you. You said, you see that? It's like,
but
I saw that.
My thing with my hybrids, like my three woods... Dude, I've practiced with those clubs so much, and sometimes, I overswing, and sometimes I top and look up. I have moments, man, where I keep it clean, I'm not going hard, I'm keeping the head down, and more often than not, I chunk the F out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to use my hybrids, but I'll tell you, when you play a link-style course...
Gotta have hybrids.
Those fours are like 450, 460. You need a hybrid in your bag. And I feel like that's that and chipping are what I need to work on the most. It's frustrating as all hell, man, because I just don't think I'm getting better at it.
And at that point, too, it turns into a between the years problem.
Absolutely.
And now you think about it. So every time you grab a hybrid out of your bag, what do you think about?
I'm going to chunk it or I'm going to top it.
I can't hit this.
Yep.
Right? Or if you're going to chip, if you're having chipping problems, which I had some chipping yips earlier this year, that's the first thing you think of. You're like, all right, I'm in an okay place. And you grab your 56 and you're like, oh, God. And there it goes. You chunk it or you scold it. It's all between the ears. Okay, somebody asked, Millsack, if you were to rehome Jason Swigart, what radio or television station would you place him with?
Wait, say that one more time.
I don't really.
Say it's
like
one more
if
time.
Swag was going to move on. If you were to rehome Jason Swigart.
Is something happening? Did I miss a memo?
TV
Am I going
station
somewhere?
Or radio station would you place him with?
I wouldn't place him on a different radio station. TV.
If I had to go with a choice for where Swag would go.
What TV station does Swagger look like to you?
I think there's two easy options here.
Okay.
One is the Golf Channel.
Oh, you're going national. I was thinking locally.
Oh, No. I don't see Swag reading the news. I don't see that.
Is that not what the question meant, though?
No. I mean, you can name it. It's TV station. Doesn't say local.
Okay.
So I go Golf Channel, or I would go Food Network.
I will go.
Those would be my two choices.
I will also go Golf Network, Golf Channel. Because I think he deleted the drop, but we had a drop years ago. He went to a Blazer playoff game and he was supposed to send audio from the locker room and we were going to play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what?
He tagged it out.
Yeah. So we were supposed to get it
like
and then
live.
Edit it. Yeah. And he would always start the clips and we couldn't edit this out. So he'd always be like, LaMarcus Aldridge stepping to the stage. And then LA would talk and then he'd go, guys, that was LaMarcus Aldridge. Back to you. I think Swag would be great because I've stood next to a golf, what do you call the fairway?
Course reporter.
A course reporter. Yeah. I stood next to one when I went to Chambers. It is intense and he's built for it. I mean, this guy was like, guys, Rory's sitting on a 265 lie.
Looks like
it's drifting to the left. I would expect maybe an 8-iron here.
That would be it.
He's perfect for that
role. That's
it.
That's
and
it,
that's
right
not
there.
To say you couldn't host. That's just to say, I think you're built.
I mean, I'm not kicking Rich Lerner out of a tower.
We just got to get you out of the walking boots so you can walk the course. Get one of those big fuzzy microphones.
Yeah, the big giant. They have the super fuzzy one. I think that's mostly though if it's like super windy.
Cut through the noise of it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay, what else we got today? Millsack question.
Millsack.
We had a friend who bought a $650,000 house in Pacific City.
Baller.
And asked us for help moving.
Okay.
My question is, how expensive does a house have to be before you feel as though the owner is obligated to pay for movers rather than asking for free help?
Okay.
Well, is this in today's current climate? Like,
he said it just happened.
Just happened.
That's my reading on it.
I would say that probably has more to do with not wanting strange mover people touching all their stuff.
I see your point.
Ooh, I'm going a different approach here.
That would have been like if he said, listen, I don't want people I don't know handling all our stuff and then having it to be in quarantine. I know, you know, if it's a close friend or a family member or something like that, I know you. I know you've been taking care of yourself. Other than that, no, that's being a cheap bastard.
No, stop. So, okay, on this one in particular, the listener, it's a valid thing to wonder. You buying that kind of house, you can afford to have somebody move you. However, you now have a friend that has a sick-ass beach house. I am taking the bullet with this one, and I am moving him gladly, thinking I am going to be granted access at least once a year.
Oh, wow. You think you need to have a good deed in order to get access to the house?
Absolutely.
See, I disagree with
that.
I
think that's part of the teamwork, dream work. Guys, I made it. I got a great beach house.
I see your point.
You help me move, Melvin. You get this beach house for a weekend.
I
might need to hear that up front.
Can I get that in writing? My counter argument would be you only ask close friends to help you move.
Yes.
You're not going down the friends list, right? Mm-hmm. There is a select few people in your life that you feel comfortable enough with.
Yeah, because when you move, there's a lot of personal items that get exposed.
Sure.
And somebody's like,
what's going on there?
What's this?
So my thing would be if you were already on the close friends friends list enough to be able to be asked to help move, you're already invited to the beach house.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should be on the invite list.
Well, that's what I'm saying though, is you got the invite to help move.
You want to pay your dues.
So yeah, follow your ass
also
to Pacific City and help him.
That's a pretty bold thing too. Like, you're moving them to. Is he moving them like everything to Pacific City? That's a big move.
You're right.
You got to drive to the coast.
Well, if they're moving, then maybe you're not getting it for a weekend.
Are you staying? Right? Like, is it? There's a lot going on there.
What's the number of a? What's the price of the house that somebody buys where they call you and ask? Let's say it's residential. It's somewhat close to you. They're going to live there permanently, so you're not getting it for a weekend getaway. They ask you to help them move. What's the lowest possible number to where you go, really? You bought blank amount for a house and you can't get movers?
It's tough because you don't get much house for much buck in Portland now.
$650 to $700 is a pretty kick-ass house here.
Not in Portland anymore.
No. You don't think
My brother is literally doing this right now. They're moving from North Carolina, and they got approved for, decent amount of money, and they're shopping around Selwood, and it's... Nope.
Well, but that's a neighborhood-to-neighborhood thing, right?
Like, oh, sure,
You can get a nice-ass house in Happy Valley for $650.
You could, yeah.
Selwood's different.
I'm saying more inside the city limits of Portland, that's not going to buy you that much.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, but around that range. If you're buying a house for $657, I'm not...
Get some movers.
Move your own ass.
I
refuse to ask people to help moving. I don't move that often, but... I won't do it.
I'm
miserable. Yeah. I don't want to put anybody through that.
It's a really short list of people.
I won't move unless I can hire somebody to move me.
Right.
Like, I'm not moving until I can do that.
I'll box it all up, but you take it from that place.
$1,200. Here you go. Yeah. Move me, please.
You go move it into that house. Make it a part of your closing costs. Mail sack question. Why is the clock a big deal on your show and not on prime times?
Because I'm your producer.
It's supposed to be a big deal on all shows.
Do we want honesty?
They have reached a point where
it doesn't matter.
Some things don't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
And we are not quite at that point.
It's 1080 the prime time. There's no secrets about that. They can do what prime time wants to do.
They get free reign, man. Somebody said, love Band and Dunes. Wife and I are expecting our first kid in December, and if it's a boy, she has given me the okay to name him Bandon. Too douchey or no?
Well, why couldn't you throw the R in there? You could just go with, your third favorite radio host.
I don't think that's douchey.
No. If you like the name, roll with it.
Now, his middle name better not be Dunes, though, because that's...
Dunes Smith.
It will take a while, though, to explain to people. What's his name? Brandon? No, Bandon.
Yeah.
You'll have to deal with that for sure.
Well, the funny thing is my little brother was 4 years younger than me when he was, two or three. He couldn't say my name till he was nine. Couldn't say my name till he was nine. He called me Bandon.
Oh, he went the reverse of that.
He couldn't do R's. I don't know why. He could never do R's. So it was like Bandon. So yeah, you're gonna get that. Do you say Brandon?
Brandon?
So you're gonna get that occasionally, but if you like that name, roll with it.
You better hope that kid enjoys to play golf.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. If he doesn't like golf, then it's gonna be kinda weird.
What's gonna happen if he gets into
is it theater kid or choir?
If your name's a little different than normal, that's a little off, right? Like, there's not a lot of Bandons out there. You just hope that he doesn't, throw that in your face in a fight. I hate my name, too! I had a cousin do that. Did not like his name.
Would you be okay being named after a sporting venue?
That's a kick-ass one like that. I'm not mad.
You okay with it? What if your name was Augusta?
Call me Augie.
Better than Lambo.
Call me Augie.
Lambo? You wouldn't want to be named Lambo?
Lambo?
Lambo Swigard? We're on to something here. Fenway?
Otson?
Fenway's actually Otson. I got a buddy who actually now works for the Ducks who named his dog Otson.
Reeser? You want to be Reeser? Reeser Sprague?
I'm named after the Beavers. Yeah, right. Frozen burritos.
Sure,
we know it.
Sure. We know what kind of food
you're frozen
like.
Burrito boy.
All right. We got a few more mail sack questions. We'll get to them on the other side. Also, a ranking of Pac-12 coaches I still want to get to. And the latest out of the NBA, which is kind of interesting for next year. We'll get to all that. Somebody texted in, Sprague, try swinging your higher but more like a low iron versus swinging it like a 3 or 5 would. Also, choke down a little on the grip towards the shaft. Make a world of difference.
I'll try that. I, I, I appreciate all tips. No promises I'll follow through and be good with these tips, but yeah. I appreciate them. I don't know how many times I jokingly would say something. The caddy would go, yeah, you know, I'd use the six here. I think a six could be great. Or, you know, yeah. I'd hit it right. Yeah. I'd always jokingly respond, yeah, well, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it.
Another thing to execute it. A couple of more quick mail sack questions before we get back into a couple of sports topics. Somebody said, would you rather stare at a wall for an hour or eat Hawaiian pizza? Probably stare at a wall for an hour.
Yep.
Look at the art.
Yep.
Or just blank paint, you know.
Sad you what juveniles colors? Can't get over this stupid thing of trying to upset me. Grow up. Both of you, grow up.
What about this one, DLS? Mail sack, is there a skill that you wish you would have started 8 weeks ago that would have been beneficial today?
Ooh.
So essentially, I mean, a quarantine skill?
You know, I've actually had a pretty productive, like, I got back into golf. I've learned to fish. I'm not great, but I've learned to fish. You know, one skill I wish I could have gone back. I wish I'd understand more, and I've tried. I don't think I have that gene. You know, the clutch gene in sports?
You don't have the clutch. You don't have it.
The equivalent of that is home repair.
Yeah.
I don't have that. So, like, stud finding, putting wall mounts on.
They have a machine for that, don't they? They have a tool for that.
Yeah, there's a tool for that.
Yeah, but mine's inconsistent.
Oh, okay.
It beeps, and then I drill in, and it's just not a sheetrock.
You got a bad stud finder, man.
I'm not good at hanging shelves on walls.
Really?
I'm really bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a hole in one of my walls right now that I effed up, so... If I could go back and try to learn a skill, it would be something of that. I want to be more confident when I hang stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, probably landscaping. I have a back courtyard area that's kind of empty. And boy, if I rent this piece of equipment to do this, and then I could, because the materials, you know, we don't want to do anything extravagant, get some pavers and have a patio or whatever, but the fact that I don't know where to start or where so materials that maybe would cost, I don't know, $1,000 total to do our little area, but I'm gonna pay a company and it's gonna be $3,000 to $5,000.
Right, because you should be able to do it on your own.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, those are both pretty good ones. Not the best at either of those. And I've been trying to space out doing projects, and then golf kind of takes over and you forget about stuff. We are in the process of redoing our guest bathroom, so we got that going for us. Would you rather get a hole in one? Last one. Would you rather get a hole in one on a 150-yard par three, or get a double eagle on a 450-yard par five?
I've already had a hole-in-one. Give me the double eagle.
I'll take the albatross.
Okay. That's tough.
Yeah. Had I used a 5-wood instead of a 3-wood on 18, I might have been close
to
one.
Yeah, you came close.
You pelted that ball.
Heck, that was a nice shot.
You went over the green. You went, is that the hole we're playing, right?
I think I'd always go ace.
Yeah.
Because you brag more about aces. You don't ever really ever ask, hey, do you have any double eagles?
I don't know, man. The talk of your bachelor weekend was somebody hitting an eagle.
Well, if somebody had gotten an ace, somebody did eagle.
No, I know. I'm not diminishing. I'm just saying eagles are pretty big deals for everybody.
Was it a double eagle? It might have been a double eagle.
I thought
it wasn't, because he was 150 out.
Yeah, he was like 150
five,
out.
Yeah. So it was third shot, yeah. So he hold out for an eagle from 150 out. But if somebody had aced one of those holes that weekend, yeah, that would have been the whole chatter.
No doubt. Yeah,
because everybody went crazy, and we had four groups, and everybody from every group could hear it.
I heard you, and you guys were two or
because we saw it go in, it's like 160 out. I was like, dude, that was nuts. So,
I mean, you can't beat the feeling of a hole in one, but if you already have that on the belt, you add another loop.
Okay,
double eagle.
All right, Jim.
I'll never get one, but it's awesome.
Yeah, because you got to be able to reach a par 5 and 2.
So and if you can't use hybrids.
Yeah, you can't hit a hybrid. You know, that's going to be a little tough unless you really pipe one of those drives. All right, there you go. There's your mail sack for this week. Let's get to let's do this first. We'll get to what the NBA is looking like to close up the show here in a moment. This came out. Everybody's doing rankings nowadays. We're all looking for content, stuff to write about, talk about. CBS came out with their 2020 Pac-12 coach rankings.
Oh, God. I feel like these come out every month.
Every month. There's always a new one, and every source has a different one. Let me rattle through a couple of these and see if we agree with them. Okay? These are your top five Pac-12 coaches, according to CBS Sports.
Let me see if I can guess them.
Okay, do you want to try and guess?
Yeah.
Okay, who's in the top five?
Number one, Kyle Whittingham.
Kyle Whittingham's number one.
Number two, Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal is not number two.
David Shaw.
David Shaw is number two.
Number three, Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal is number three.
Number four.
Justin Wilcox.
Justin Wilcox is number five, not number four.
Number four is, oh my God, I'm blanking. I just had it.
Name the school.
Oh, is it Herm?
Herm Edwards is number four.
God, I couldn't even think of the school.
You guys, yeah, those are the top five. So they go Whittingham, number one, David Shaw, number two, Cristobal, number three, Herm Edwards, number four, Wilcox, number five.
This is going to be an atrocity when Jonathan Smith wins 10 games this year.
Where do you think Jonathan Smith shows up?
Eight.
Seven or eight.
Yeah.
Number nine.
Yeah. Not shocked. Their record wasn't great.
Number nine.
Is he ahead of Chip or behind Chip?
He is behind Chip. So let me ask a couple of
questions.
That's
just reputation only.
I'm so tired of this.
Let me ask. Hold on.
Larry Coker in L.A.
A couple of things here I want to rattle off, okay?
So is Jimmy Lake 12? Because
Jimmy Lake is number 11.
Rolovich is probably 12.
Oh, Rolovich is?
Rolovich is 8. He's ahead of Jonathan Smith.
Sumlin.
No.
What?
Carl Durrell's number 12.
Oh, Rolovich is ahead.
He's ahead of Jonathan Smith. Right? That's why I saw this. And I was like, wait a minute. What? That doesn't make any... I mean, look, he had a good run in Hawaii. Don't get me wrong. But
where did he coach?
Hawaii.
Oh, what conference do they play in?
So you're going to put him at
the WAC?
You're going to put him at number 8, but Jimmy Lake, who's been a successful D coordinator at a Pac-12 school, number 11?
Yeah.
Neither of them have any Division I head coaching experience.
Why do I care about this? I don't even know, but I do.
I know. I saw that, and I was like, wait a minute.
He's ahead of Jonathan Smith? Come on, man.
Also, let me also ask this.
5 games at Oregon State.
Might be a little hot takey, so cool it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Is David Shaw too high?
Oh, I think he has about one more season where this is going to start. Yeah, he needs to be knocked down a peg.
Well,
it's very fair to question this stuff.
It depends on...
They sucked last year. Injuries were part of it, but they sucked.
Yeah, what...
Well, how good are they going to be this year? They've lost everybody.
Is the element of coaching kind of pure coaching, or do they rope in recruiting and running a major college
program?
That's
part of the equation for me. In college, it has to be part of the equation.
As far as X's and O's coach, I Shaw's right up there.
I think, yeah. So how many more years before you change that tune? I'm really wondering. Because what was he 2 years ago? 6 wins?
No, they were 9-4 the year before, with the win in the bowl game.
Right,
so they were
8-4
on the season in 2018, won the bowl game to get to 9. The year before that, they were 9-4, lost their bowl game.
He's really consistent, but it's clearly fallen from where every year they were a consensus Pac-12 title contender.
And into last year at 4-8.
That has more to do with recruiting and talent. Level of talent that they had. And if that's part of, they're saying, if that it gets wrapped into everything there, then yeah, if things go, if the Ducks do what they did or take it to another level and Stanford can't get more, then Mario will surpass him.
Surpass him. It looks like...
Well, who would you rather have? If talent was equal, who are you rolling with in a game?
Shaw.
I would say Shaw's a far better X's and O's coach. But when it comes to building the recruiting and all the other things that go with it, I would take Cristobal. Now, part of that is also it's harder just to get those guys at Stanford. Like, that's a part of the animal.
Yeah, the education.
But what Cristobal's building in terms of having a talent pool, I would take that over what Shaw's bringing in talent-wise at this point. But Shaw's the better X's and O's coach, there's no doubt.
Well,
Cristobal's an offensive lineman coach.
I don't want to come off that I'm disrespecting him. He is clearly a great coach. I just...
Shaw can go back to the NFL any day he wants.
He just won't. He loves it there.
He does love it there.
I'm not one that says, well, you had success for X amount of seasons. If you don't have success for a while, I'm still going to hold you to the top standard. Now, one bad season shouldn't take him out.
That's why I asked the question. It's only been one down year. That was the end of their bowl streak, all that stuff. 4-8 was a really bad year, but...
But, like, this is my frustration with Chip. If Chip is going to win this year, then great. I'll eat crow, and I'll tell you, I guess I was wrong. Chip figured it out and got UCLA rolling. This dude hasn't won in a ton of time, and we're still like acting like he's the number 7-6 coach in the country.
I mean, he's number 6 in the conference, according to this.
We had George Schroeder on last year, who doesn't cover college sports anymore, and we said he wrote a Chip piece, and we asked him if Chip in the top 10 coaches. He said, yeah.
Yeah, in the country.
Like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Still?
The funny part about this, too, to your point, is they have their last year's ranking. So the biggest jump from last year to this year that CBS had was Herm Edwards, who went from number 10 up to number 4, which, okay, you know, I can see that. The last year, so Chip came into UCLA, they went 3-9 in his first year. So when these rankings came out after his 3-9 debut, you know what he was ranked in the conference?
Fourth.
He was third.
Yeah.
After a 3-9 debut.
Well, it's that was
his players.
Those weren't his players.
Right. And then they ended up going 4-8 this year, and now he's dropped all the way to number six. So I was like, all right, well, that's kind of interesting. Jonathan Smith, if you're wondering, he was 11th last year, jumped up to number 9. Kevin Sumlin was 6th. He's now down to 10, so that was a big drop.
Was Rolovich the head coach of Hawaii when he beat Jonathan Smith?
Wow.
How's Puget Sound football doing?
Wow.
Puget Sound football never did anything.
That's fire.
You poke the bear, you get the teeth. Suck it, Puget Sound. Go Beavs.
That is such a good point. He did beat him last year head-to-head. Yeah. I forgot about that. What am I complaining about? Of course he should be ranked higher than him.
It's a non-conference.
He couldn't even beat him.
They
at Hawaii.
I just
it's a six-hour.
Like, didn't he fake a punt in his own 20-yard line or something?
I had to go figure out how to link
quarter?
My TV to Facebook Live to watch right. that game at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's a six-hour flight, Swigard. Why don't you get off a plane and play football 6 hours after traveling? It does a lot to the oxygen.
Traveled to play the union tournaments at the University of Hawaii the last 2 years
that
there.
You didn't play jackass.
That is phenomenal.
The air at 30,000 Hawaii, there's a lung thing. And the lighting was bad in the second half.
Lighting was bad.
Yeah. Don't forget the lineman got hurt. What's his name? Remember that?
Sure, yeah. Of course, we all remember that. No, they had teammates punching each other on the sideline.
Mike Hass lost eligibility. It just didn't go well in that second half.
He didn't have Hass there when you needed him.
There's a lot involved, okay?
That was well played, Swigard. So the CBS came out with Pac-12 coach rankings. Kyle Whittingham, number 1. David Shaw, number 2. Mario Cristobal, number 3. Herm Edwards, number 4. Justin Wilcox, number 5. Chip Kane, 6. Jonathan Smith was 9.
I hate you with every fiber of my being.
Rolovich was 8th, and Jimmy Lake was 11.
Not only did you remind me
I totally forgot
about
that
them blowing that game up 28-10.
Because we all remember them at the end of the year, because they played so well at the end of the year. You kind of forget
they would have been a bowl team.
Yeah, how bad they were early in the season. If they would have just beaten Hawaii, they would have been in a bowl game last year.
I'm taking all your Beaver affiliation away. You're banned for 2 years. I'm talking with the alum.
2 year show cause.
Show cause penalty. Swigard cannot go to Reeser anymore. This is I'm getting on the phone and you're done.
Trying to clarify the record.
It's just stating facts over there. It's all he's doing, man. Okay, let's get to the latest
the
in
clock.
The NBA.
Why don't you do your job and make him break? What about that?
Go Beavs. How about that? We'll close up with some NBA stuff next on the fan. I fell over my chair laughing at O'Hara, laughing at how...
That sick burn about Puget Sound football.
Yeah, butthurt Sprague got. Somebody said, Swag, go home, you're drunk. He's drunk. I need to use the stating facts.
Shut up, duck.
They said Smith outcoached him drastically in that game. Admittedly don't remember much. I do remember Jonathan Smith with a really bad choice to like run a fake punt in his own territory. Did he not do that in the fourth quarter?
There's some very questionable second, in all seriousness, very questionable second half coaching decisions.
That's what I remember.
You shouldn't blow an 18-point lead.
Wasn't it 21-0? Weren't they up big in the first half and then they blew it
in
the second
half? It was either 28-10 or 21-10. They were up double digits, and watching them not score anything in the second half and lose was just an absolute drop kick to my stomach.
Okay, so it was 28-21 at the half.
What was it?
They had the lead, 28-21 at the half.
Oh, man, I thought it was a bigger lead than that. God, I'm an idiot.
But I think they had that lead. I think they got a score towards the end of the first half. I think it was like 28-7 or something like that.
Did the Beavs score at all in the second, or am I?
They did not score at all in the second half. They outscored 10-0 in the second half.
Jeez.
And they, let me see if I can
that second half, I mean, that was the difference for them being a bowl team. And I don't know if
isn't
one
that crazy to think back on.
I know. I don't know if one game truly makes the difference, but you wonder if they're a bowl team last year. Is Smith ninth or is he seventh?
He should look. Admittedly, where we can all agree is he needs to be higher on that rankings. The Rolovich joke was kind of funny, but
it was great. It was really well timed.
It was 21-7 a couple minutes into the second quarter.
Okay,
that's right.
And so they got off to a really hot start, and then they scored 10 points the rest of the game. And that was the issue. I remember Luton being really bad in that game, but they turned it on from there. But yeah, that was, I remember that fake punt decision. That's the one thing that stands out on that game in my mind. Let's get to this. Woj tweeting out, interesting news. Now, it sounds like this is going to be officially approved in 2 days. Thursday, I believe, is the day of voting on it. The NBA model apparently is going to look like a 22-team format. So that will include the Portland Trail Blazers. So 16 usually make the playoffs, so you're adding a couple on each side. Teams with a chance to play for those 7 and 8 seeds. July 31st is the resumption date in Orlando.
This is my only beef with everything they're doing, assuming
it's a little
this.
Late.
Yeah, like it's June 2nd. I know they're going to present this on Thursday.
Can we not get started before July 31st?
You don't need this much time. This sounds like they've got it figured out with Disney. I know they need to put together the court and all that. Dude, that is a month and a half, basically. You do not need that much time.
Well, how much of that is testing everybody before they get there? That's the only thing where I could say, okay, we need to start sending out tests to the teams in the practice. I'm assuming players are going to have to report to their local practice facilities, get checked out, get tested, because they don't want anybody to show up in Orlando that could possibly have.
Sure. That's true.
They got to do. That's why I think it's going to take time. As far as them, now they could start going to facilities and letting them practice and work out so that they're ready to go by the time they get to Orlando.
Yeah, if you're going to wait until July 31st, you better be playing. Like, that better be we're playing an official game
on
July 31st.
I think that's when they start playing games.
So you show up and you make sure everybody's settled in.
The only thing I can think of is that they need to do some testing and stuff of guys where they are before they make the trip to Orlando, which could... That's what's stretching out the time.
Yeah, but teams have already, they got tested as soon as the season wrapped up. So like the access to testing, I know it's been tough for most Americans. It's pretty clear that if you have money or you're connected, you're going to get a test. The other thing with this is you're now jeopardizing. I don't know how. Game 7 would go to October 12th. That's the latest possible date.
So if every game is played, every series, that stuff, October 12th. So
yeah, but you're not... there's no travel. So there's no travel days. You're playing every other day.
No, that's what they're saying. That's what Woj reported. Yeah, so October 12th is still the soonest you can... or the latest date the season could go.
My point is, if you're playing the latest, let's say Game 7 NBA Finals happens, you're turning around and playing on Christmas? This feels like you might end up having to start in January with this date.
Yeah, there's a ripple effect there for next year. Because that's basically the start of the NBA season is the middle of October.
Maybe you crunch the games a little closer together. Your playoffs, you should for sure close them together. And maybe the next season, your year would end at the end of June versus very early June.
Maybe you get a lot of sweeps and the better teams win and you're done at the end of September. It could be. Well,
that would be rapidly, ideally, right? I think, what they'd want.
And then maybe you start the next season a little bit earlier. But, yeah, that's an interesting ripple effect to think about. So Woj reporting 22-team model that would include Portland, July 31st start date in Orlando. And the latest possible date for an NBA Finals Game 7 would be October 12th, which would then make everybody wonder, at what point do you start next season? There you go. Good little show. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Went to North Carolina and talked some Blazers at the Daily Ticker. We also had Don Crow on, the general manager of Bandon Dunes. Catch all those at 1080thefan, at Thurton Sprague. We'll tweet them out. That will do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of our Tuesday. Hope everybody out there is doing all right. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.